Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Don't you just love that scene? That has been playing, how many know, since 1965. Yeah, 1965. And that specific scene right there, Charles Schulz had to fight for that. His producers were saying, hey, you need to get that out of there. This is a dangerous time. You really don't need to be putting that scripture in that little clip. And he said, if we don't, who will? I'm thankful that Charles Schulz stood his ground. That's pretty awesome. He created, of course, Peanuts. And I love that scene for a lot of reasons. I love it because I love Linus's response there. Charlie Brown is in a very dark place, which we always seem to find Charlie Brown in a dark place. He makes the wrong tree selection, right? And he's called all kinds of names. This is like a psychologist. I mean, I don't know. If Charlie Brown were like a real person, he might be in prison today. Because he takes a lot of heat and a lot of ridicule, and they just start laughing at him. And he, of course, goes over to Linus, and he says that line, does anybody know what Christmas is all about? And I love that Linus says, I know what it means, and he walks across a dark stage, and he says these words, light please, right? Light please. And that really captured my, in fact, that's the title of this message today, light please. He asks for, calls for lights, and then he begins to recite Luke chapter 2, and it's just a beautiful account. And then you noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, he actually reached down when he was done and picked up his blanket. There's all kinds of little underlying messages there. I don't know, maybe I'm overanalyzing the thing. But he walks back over to Charlie Brown and has that drop the mic moment. He said, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Light, please. I don't know that Charles Schulz, when he wrote this cartoon, that he was thinking how I'm thinking today. I really doubt it. I'm going to take a little artistic and creative privilege here and just assume that with me, if you would, that God stepped out on a stage and it was dark. And he cleared his throat upon hovering over the darkness called the earth. It was a mass. And he cleared his throat and he said, light, please. In fact, look at it with me. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Light, please. Let there be light. This subject of light and darkness is all over and all throughout the pages of the Bible. I mean, we could do a 9-week series literally on just light and darkness throughout and what God has to say about it. Light is amazing. I'm not a science buff by any means, but I get photosynthesis a little bit, right? The light comes down and hits the chlorophyll in the plant, and then it kind of feeds the plant. It turns it green, and it's all, that's about as far as I'm going to go with chlorophyll and photosynthesis. And then what about vitamin D, right? We need the sunlight for vitamin. How many of you could use a little more vitamin D? And maybe instead of 5 degrees, 75 degrees would be nice. But it has life-giving effects to it. And what about just pure vision? What does light have to do with vision? This is what astounds me, that as God was creating the heavens and the earth, and he's walking or hovering over the earth, the Bible says, he was thinking about these two things. He was thinking about these sockets in our eyeballs. He was thinking, you know what? In order for these to be functional at all, there has to be light. What about color? Color really is meaningless in the darkness. I couldn't say, hey, I like those gray pants, or I like that peach-colored shirt. Wouldn't matter without color. And I don't know that I'd call these negative, but I started thinking about what would be some other uses of light, or maybe not so popular uses of light. What about if you get too much sun, what happens? You get a sunburn, right? What about if you're driving down a road at night and the guy coming towards you flashes his brights at you? I mean, just enjoy that moment. And then you realize you've got your brights on, right? Turn them down. How many appreciate a nice, a flash? How many just that moment when your wife or husband are looking for something in the room and got their phone light on, right, and flash it in your eye because they're looking for something? We don't appreciate that. There's a little bit of some negative things. I don't know. Maybe this one will catch you too. Here, watch this. Maybe watch that one.
No, Harry, no! Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
There's some light you don't want to be drawn to. I think, I don't know, how many of you are nightlight families? How many of you appreciate a good nightlight? Four of you? Okay, we'll just pass right over that one. I don't know, we raised four kids, and a nightlight was important in our home. And you had to have a nightlight, and a nightlight, something about a nightlight makes all the monsters go away, right? There's something about, a little bit of light makes all the difference in the world. You might just want to capture that. A little bit of light makes all the difference, especially us adults. We've got to find that the restroom. You know, the night light is nice to have because it makes all the difference in the world. God is the creator of light. At the beginning of time, he steps into the dark mass. And here it is. God specializes in bringing light to dark places. He was motivated by the darkness on the earth when he said, let there be light. Thursday, December 21st, we celebrated our winter solstice. How many of you celebrated winter solstice on the 21st? How many of you never even thought of winter solstice on Thursday? Remember, it didn't even enter your mind. That's midwinter, right? Midwinter, and that's kind of when the earth tilts, the northern hemisphere tilts furthest away from the sun as it's orbiting around the sun. It's tilted furthest away, which causes these really short days and these incredibly long nights. And what's kind of awesome about winter solstice in this time of year, I don't think it was a coincidence that we celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time of year, the light of the world. See, Jesus came not to just be remembered as the little babe in the manger, but he came to be remembered as the light of the world. Not just the God who put blue sky and green grass, not just the one who can light up the sky, but the one who could light up our hearts. I was reading, in fact, not just lighting up our hearts, but literally he's come to light up the worst kind of darkness there is, spiritual darkness. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 12 with me. It says these words, Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Listen, darkness of any kind is really difficult. It's disorienting, and it's confusing, and it's hard to navigate through. And Jesus says, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. What's interesting about this passage is what happens just prior to it. This is verse 12. Verses 1 through 11, Jesus is confronted with a situation. He's talking to a crowd of people, and all of a sudden there's a little bit of a disturbance over here, and they're coming through the crowd, and they throw this woman at Jesus' feet. She's been caught in the act of adultery. And I know that doesn't sound like a very Christmassy story, but stay with me here for a moment. They throw her down at Jesus' feet, and they, with anger and with hatred, with judgment in their hearts, they say, this woman deserves to be stoned to death. She's been caught. The law of Moses says, and what do you say? They were trying to trap Jesus. And here's what I love about this moment. What I love about this moment is Jesus puts on full display, please catch this, what he means by being the light of the world. In other words, he's saying in this moment, this is how the light of the world acts. This is how the light of the world behaves. This is what the light of the world does when presented with situations like this. He did not say to the accusers, the guys with rocks ready to throw, they're ready to put an end to this. Jesus didn't join them and say, yeah, you're right. Oh, that was bad. I can't believe it. And point in and say, yeah, let's give us rock. Nor did he say to the people with the rocks, you losers, what are you doing? Don't you know you're... But this is what the light of the world does. He looks back at the accusers and the condemners and he says, you who are without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. And he shed light at that moment into their hearts. And it's just a moment where for some introspection, you know, they're standing with a rock and all of a sudden the light shines in like, wow, woo. I'm not in a position to be throwing any rocks today. And the Bible says they all dropped their rocks one by one and walked away. Why? Because the light shone in and showed the reality of what really was going on in their hearts as well. And what did he say to the woman? After they had walked away, and listen, if you've ever been in a place where you've been condemned or judged or thrown or pointed a finger at by the church or perceived by the church or somebody, you know, kind of ridiculed you or misunderstood you, and so there's a little bit of anger in your heart because the church responded this way and therefore I'm never going to go darken the door. Or this is what you've heard about the church. They all judge. Let me tell you, this is what the light of the world does. This is how the light of the world responds. This is how Jesus responds, and this is how we ought to respond. He looks at the woman and he says, woman, where are your accusers now? And she says, Lord, there are none. He said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin. Now go and leave your life of sin. To the judgmental crowd, he shined a light in their hearts and they realized they were in no position to judge. And yet to the woman, he shined a light in their hearts, a light that said, there's grace for you and there's mercy for you and there's a new start for you. The light isn't designed to condemn. The light isn't designed just to put you in your place and to ridicule you. Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to, listen, the light is designed to be exactly what is needed at that moment. Do you need hope tonight? I don't know what you've come in with tonight. I don't know what burdens you're carrying. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how your walk is going or how your life is going or if you're at the top of the world or you're at the bottom or if you're excited with life or you're lonely or wherever you are in this spectrum. I want to tell you something. The light of Jesus is here for you tonight. And it's a light of hope and it's a light of peace. It's a light of forgiveness. Yes, a light of conviction. I don't know about you, but I've been on both sides of that light. I've been on the side of that light where I've had a stone, so to speak. I've wanted to judge some people. I've wanted to throw a rock. I wanted to say, yeah, but they. And all of a sudden the light of God shines in and I go, not so fast. But I've also been on that side where I've been looked at and I've been ridiculed and I've been demeaned. I've been guilty of sin. And I've experienced the light of Jesus at those moments where he says these words. And he's not only said them to me, but I believe he stands here ready to say them to you. Neither do I condemn you. Now, Gary, go and leave your life. Go and leave your life of sin. Here's the beauty about that. The beauty about the light of Jesus is something that we want to stay in. Linus goes, light, please, light, please. I mean, if you call for light and the spotlight's on you, you want to stay in the light, right? That's what the director says, stay in the light, right? Don't. Or they tell the guy with the light back there to control it, keep him in the light. That's where we want to live. We want to live within the light of Jesus. The Bible says, we all know the passage very well, John 3:16, that says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse is awesome. For God did not send his son into the world to what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world through him might be saved. I can stay in the light. You mean I can live my life in the light? You mean Jesus isn't out to get me? You mean he's not out to condemn me? He's not out to ridicule me? He's not out to tell me? He's not angry at me? How many times have you heard people that say, man, if I darken the door of a church, that church is going to cave in. Or there's going to be lightning. Or there's going to be it. And yet the light of Jesus is this. Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. And the light of Jesus is a perfect reflection of how we, the church, ought to be. When people come in, neither do I condemn you. We love to boat in the summer. Let me just throw that little summer plug out there for you. We love to boat. We have a little pontoon. Well, we put a few people on the pontoon, we like to go out to the Bayview Fireworks. Some of you have been to the Bayview Fireworks on the water during the Bayview Fireworks. Some of you have done the Coeur d'Alene Fireworks. Okay, all right. Well, we go out to the Bayview Fireworks because they thunder through the canyon up there on Lake Ponderay. Is it Ponderay Lake? Lake Ponderay. Anyways, you get in that little bay there and you watch them and then they echo through the thing. It's a great show and then it's all over and it's over and then people kind of clap, woo, 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 right? And then you're in your boat and then you got to take your boat off the water at night. Like, hey, have fun with that. They don't let you turn on any little headlights on your boat, or they don't let you get the spotlight. Where are we going? That's illegal. You can't do it. But what you can do is, on my boat, there's this little, on all, every boat, there's a little light that's right on the top or on the back, right? On the aft of the boat. And bow on the boat, there's this little red and green, and then you go out, and you see, all of a sudden, you see the boats forming in this darkness. And they fall, and there's just a line of them falling, just a little light on the back. Because a little light makes all the difference in the world. A little light makes all the difference. You just follow in the night around the point, and you make your way back. Because a little light makes all the difference in the world. John 12, verse 45 says, for when you see me, Jesus speaking here, when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. He says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. All who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Is it just me, or does it seem our world is getting a little bit darker? Is it just me that the world events and the things that we're seeing and what's going on in North Korea and parts of the world, that things seem a little bit unsteady and unstable? It seems to be our nation with some of the violence and the scandals and atrocities going on in our very nation, that things are getting just a little bit dark. It's as if the world and it's as if our nation are crying out, light, please, light, please. There's got to be some light somewhere. And yet they continue to push away and push back on God and say, no, he just wants to judge me. He just wants to condemn me. They want light, but they're rejecting the giver of light. And there is no substitute for the light of hope. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the beginning of the book of John, says these words: "In the beginning, the Word already existed, the Word / Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everyone that was created. And His life, get this, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." The darkness can never extinguish it. Let me say it one more time. The darkness can never extinguish it. So how should we respond? How should we respond? I believe we should respond, and my recommendation tonight, and the prayer that we've been praying for this moment, is that you would allow the one who specializes in bringing light to dark places, that he would fill your soul. That you would not push back, not another day. That you would not sidestep the light of hope and the light of life. That you would not say, that's for another day. You'd not push it off any longer. But that you would open your heart today to the light of God, to the one who specializes in bringing light to dark places. Because listen, a little light makes all the difference in the world. I want to go back to the scripture we began with, Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Let there be light. Let there be light. What's interesting about that passage is, as you read it and you look at it, you have to let light in. You have to let it in. You have to let the light in. How many of you have seen that picture of Jesus knocking on a heart's door? Have you seen that picture? It's an old classic picture. I mean, it's been around forever. It's a drawing. It's an artistic rendering of the heart of man, Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What's interesting about that picture is there's no doorknob on the outside of the door. So Jesus will never just crash the door in and, "Hey, I'm coming in, ready or not." That we have to open the door and let him in. Let there be light. The doorknob's on your side. You know what that word "let" means? Just let. Like definition number 5 in Webster says this: permission to enter. Permission to enter. And I just wonder tonight if there's one or two that would say, "You know what? I'm done pushing back on Jesus. I'm done pushing back on the light of hope. I'm done pushing back and trying to avoid the light of life. I'm done grappling in the darkness. I'm done trying to find my way and being disoriented and being confused and trying to figure out when life's going to start and when the hope kicks in and where it's all at and what really is the meaning of life," like Charlie Brown. And Linus says, I'm going to tell you what it is, Charlie. And I hope you hear it and I hope you listen. And his name is Jesus. And his name is Jesus. And he's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Tonight, we're going to light some candles together. And in fact, if you are sitting on this side of any section, you're going to see a bag. And some of you that are kind of over here may have to walk over. There's a bag and there's some candles in there. But there's also some glow sticks for the little ones. We thought through this. Tonight, it's just as simple as praying the prayer from the depths of your heart that would just say, "Jesus, I want to let your light in. I invite you in tonight. I'm done grappling in the dark. I'm done trying to find my own way. I submit my life to the light of hope and the light of life. Jesus, I confess you are the light of the world. And I allow that light to shine into my heart tonight. Lord, I thank you for every life in this place. And anyone that would just utter that prayer tonight, Lord, I pray that you would come in like a flood of light and hope that they've never felt before. Never thought was possible. Always put it off, but now tonight realize that tonight, this night, Christmas Eve, 2017 was the year they gave their heart to Jesus and the light came in and everything changed. And a little light changed everything. God, would you come? Would you fill our hearts, each life tonight in this place? And we will give you all the glory. And all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you just say amen? Amen. Amen.